Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the Internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This show is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we will be discussing the final part of our five-part series about victory over sin. We will be studying from the Bible to find out how we can gain victory over sin. More about our subject after you've heard some music.
Some want the crown, but they won't bear their cross, 'cause it takes everything to serve the Lord. Some want bright mansions, but they won't pay the cost, 'cause it takes everything to serve the Lord. It takes your hands and your head and your heart, yes, it takes your all. It takes everything to serve the Lord. It takes your time and your means and your prayers lest you fall. It takes everything to serve the Lord. Somewhere his name, while they still live in shame, but it takes everything to serve the Lord. They want to be seen, but they don't want to be clean, but it takes everything to serve the Lord. It takes your hands and your head and your heart, yes, it takes your all. It takes full surrender to serve the Lord. It takes your time and your means and your prayers lest you fall. It takes everything, everything, child, to serve the Lord.
Voice in the Wilderness, caring for you.
How do we gain victory over sin? We will discuss this subject tonight with answers from the Bible. Have a pen and a paper ready to write down some notes. Tonight we will be discussing these questions together. Who is to be our example in life? What is to be our daily routine? Where is to be our focus? How can we overcome evil? And is victory over sin possible? So before we start our study this evening, let's have a word of prayer together, listeners. Heavenly Father, Lord, once more we thank you for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet from London. Lord, as we study our final part of this five-part series about victory over sin, We ask your Holy Spirit to lead us and teach us those truths from your word, which will save us from sin. Through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, who is to be our example in life? We read in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We read in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verses 24 to 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. In order for us to know how to live in this life, then we are to follow the way that he has shown us. Jesus has taught us that if we are to come after him and to follow him, then we are to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. The way that we gain victory over sin is to follow the path of self-denial, the path that Jesus took when he was upon this earth, when he gained victory over sin for us. To take up our cross means that we are to leave the error of our ways and to follow the example of Christ, denying self and obeying God at any cost. If we are seeking to save our lives, that is, to selfishly serve ourselves, then we shall lose life because we separate from God by doing this. But if we lose our lives, that is, to submit our lives into Christ's hands, then he, the life giver, will give us his life as we serve him. This is how the soul becomes sanctified through obedience to God. We read in John chapter 21 and verses 20 to 22. Then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. We have this example in Scripture to teach us that rather than focusing upon what others are doing for the Lord, we are to focus upon following him for ourselves. God is not interested in how much we know about the mission of others. Rather, he's more interested in whether we are following him for ourselves. Salvation, victory over sin, is an individual work. Rather than looking at what others are doing, Jesus says, Follow thou me. We can know all about the latest preacher or sermon. We can know all about how effective a health worker is. We can even be fluent in our understanding about last day events. But unless we are following Jesus for ourselves, then we are as spectators rather than participants in this war to overcome evil through the power of God. Now, what is to be our daily routine? We read in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We read in John chapter 8 and verse 29, And he that sent me is with me. The Father have not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. We read in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The first step to take every morning is to be willing to die to self and to submit to God's plan for us for the day. We are to live by the faith of the Son of God, meaning that we are not to live our own way, but Jesus' way. We are to ask Jesus for the same faith that he had whilst on earth. Jesus had a loving trust in his Father and did all that his Father asked him to do. We, as Jesus' children, by creation and redemption, are to have the same relationship with him, knowing that he loved us and gave himself for us so that we can give ourselves to him. Every morning, listeners, we are to consent to be in a loving relationship with our God. We read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We read in John chapter 17 and verses 17 to 19, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Every morning and all throughout the day, we are to read the word of God. This is because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith is a gift from God that we can either choose to exercise practically or not. When we read the word of God, we are not just to mentally understand it. We are to hear what our loving Heavenly Father says to us and do what he commands us. If we truly believe in God's word and are willing to be made willing, then we are giving consent for Christ to exercise his royal power on our behalf. Christ then gives us his strength, his righteousness, by faith, to live by his word. We read in Mark chapter 10 and verses 42 to 45, "But Jesus called them to him, as his disciples, and saith unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be a minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Listeners, God's word teaches us that the true object of life is service. Jesus, the Son of Man, which means in his humanity, came as a man to teach us that we are not lived to be served. Rather, he came to teach us that life is about ministering to or serving others. And Bible study is God's means of teaching us how he gained victory over sin through service. This is the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. This is the simplicity of the everlasting gospel. God offers us everlasting life through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Sin has made each and every one of us selfish and lawless. The atonement allows that through Christ's life, we can receive his love to serve others. This is why we need the power of God to sanctify and cleanse us. We need to be restored to God's holy loving purpose as revealed in his holy law. We read in Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 14 to 19. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Here is where our prayer life is to come into action. Every morning and all throughout the day, we are to pray and ask God the Father to send us the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. We are to be rooted and grounded in love, and to be able to comprehend or understand the expanse of the love of Christ. Here is the true science of prayer. God wants us to reach this ideal. If we want to have a closer walk with Jesus, then we are to pray that he will fill us with the expanse of his love, which is the fullness of God. We read in Psalm 66 and verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." We read in Psalm 28 and verse 3, "Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts." Here we see why we need to die to self daily and to have faith, not in our own ways, but in the ways of the Lord. If we are praying to God and asking for his blessing, but yet regard iniquity in our hearts, if we are thinking or planning evil against others, acting like we are people's friends when we are not, then this is mockery towards God. Listeners, how can we dare to ask God to fill us with his love if we are being cruel and hateful towards those whom he loves? God will only bless with his love those who desire to receive his love in order to overcome evil and to lovingly serve others. We read in John chapter 8 and verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We read in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 to 16, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When we submit daily to God's loving plan of service for us, when we read God's word daily and learn how he requires us to serve, when we pray daily and ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with the love of God, when we desire to be empowered by God's love to serve, then, and only then, are we ready to receive the power that Christ offers us to serve. As the Bible teaches, we are to impart the heavenly love that we receive from Christ by doing good works towards others. This is the life that glorifies our Father in heaven. We read in 1 John chapter 4, and verses 16 to 17, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." When we know and believe the love that God has to us every day, when we dwell every day, not in sin and hatred, but rather in God's love, then we can move on daily by obedience to attain perfect love, which is to fully reflect Jesus Christ and have the glory of God. Once we reflect Christ daily, then we can have boldness in the day of judgment, as we practically show the universe that we have not only been justified, freely pardoned from our sins by God, but we have also become sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and set apart for his holy service through the righteousness of God. We are proven to be no more criminals. We will continue with our study this evening after this break.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an rock is Jesus. very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the
Where is to be our focus? We read in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The Bible teaches us that if our focus is upon the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, then the love of the Father is not in us. Why? Because we love the world more than we love the Father. We love the things of the creature more than we love the Creator. Notice that there is a contrast between the world and the will of God. We read in 1 John chapter 5 and verses 18 to 19. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Those who are born of God, who have been reborn by His Spirit, do not sin. They do the will of God. This is in contrast with those who love the world. They lust after the things that are in this world that have been established by sin and wickedness. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 to 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is called the God of this world. He controls the governments on this planet. We direct you, listeners, to our series of radio broadcasts called Does the Bible Teach a Global Conspiracy? Here we study the Bible and world history to show that Satan has set up systems of religion and government and education in this world with leaders who are in rebellion against Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Satan leads the masses of people in this world into unbelief. He leads them into rebellion and sin instead of the love of the Father. He has set up his own counterfeit system of religion. Its headquarters is Papal Rome, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. It is a system of religion which in every country is tailored to meet the sinful hearts of the people. This religion is based upon sun, sex, serpent, and Satan worship. In whichever guise, the religion of Satan leads people to worship sinful acts rather than pure and holy living. And so being in a world full of the temptations that are offered through satanic religion, temptations like drugs and alcohol and fornication, all of which initiate one into evil, being tempted by fashion, sports and worldly honours, all of which promote a spirit of selfishness. God calls us to turn our minds away from these things to the pure love that comes from our Heavenly Father. It is only by separating from evil in mind and heart that we can gain the victory over sin through Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now, how can we overcome evil? We read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 21 and in Mark chapter 10 and verse 18. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. The Bible teaches us that we are not to be overcome of evil, but we are to overcome evil with good. There is none good but God. Only the goodness of God can overcome evil. It is only by the presence of Christ living in us, by faith, through his word, by the Holy Spirit, that we can overcome our sins and overcome all the evils that are seeking to daily destroy us. Now, is victory over sin possible? Listeners, there is no better way to end this series of radio broadcasts about victory over sin than by sharing the real-life testimonies of people who have gained victory over sins in their lives on their journey to heaven. Let us be clear. None of the people that you are about to hear claim that they have gained the complete victory over sin yet. That verdict can only be determined at the end of our lives in the judgment of God. But what you are about to hear are testimonies of what has happened in people's lives as a result of giving their hearts to Jesus.
I was not always a Seventh-day Adventist. I was not brought up as a Seventh-day Adventist. We were basically out in the world. We used to go parties and dances and follow sound systems and all the rest of that kind of lifestyle. And there came a time in my life when I had a son, and he was very, very ill, and he was in hospital. And then I started praying and asking the Lord to let him live, but he didn't. He died. And from him dying, I decided to go to church. And the Lord, I prayed and I asked the Lord to send me to the right church, and he sent me to the Seventh-day Adventist church. And it was a shock, because I used to on occasions go to the Methodist church and other denominations, Catholic, Jehovah's Witness. But the doctrines that I heard in the Seventh-day Adventist church, I never heard before. And in coming to know Jesus, and it's literally a relationship with Jesus through prayer and studying the Word and having the Holy Spirit to lead and to teach. I no longer listen to reggae music. As a matter of fact, it really annoys me now when I hear it. I no longer drink alcohol. I have no desire for it. And I used to be very sick with my stomach all the time. And the Lord showed me to change my diet. And from that, I stopped eating all animal products. And that was 30 years ago. And for 34 years, I've not been in a doctor's surgery, because my health has been very good. All praises be to God. And a few weeks ago, the Lord gave me victory over eating ice cream, because we were told by the servant of the Lord that we shouldn't have anything that is too cold, plus there's too much sugar in that product. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying to me, do not eat any more ice cream. And He literally took the taste away, so I no longer desired it. And it was really strange, because the supermarket that I buy my products from started sending me discounts on ice cream every single week. But through the power of God, I resisted and I never took their offer. And we have to understand what sin is. 1 John 3 and verse 4 tells us that sin is breaking God's law, His Ten Commandment law. And He also said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it's all about relationship with Him. It is possible to gain the victory over all sins, all sins, through prayer and Bible study and having that relationship with Him.
Many years ago, as a teenager, I wandered astray, what I call astray, not knowing any better, and did many things, forbidden things, things that were considered to be evil in the sight of God. And I was addicted to drugs, hashish, marijuana, and all, never did I took cocaine or hard drugs, but these soft drugs I was addicted to for sure. And the times that when I was ran out of money, couldn't get all of the drugs that I needed. Back in those days, we called herbs. I would set my alarm clock all 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and the weather is cold, snowing outside, and I would just get dressed and just wander around the streets, asking myself, I don't know why I'm doing this thing, but this has got a hold of me. And I was in two minds, really, if whether or not I should go home or continue. I would continue all night until I found what I wanted. And when I did buy it, find the pusher and I buy it, and all of a sudden, one day, I met a guy, some people whom I never seen before, and things went bad for me, where I was not totally conscious of what's going on around me, because being high all the time, I used to sleep high, wake up high, and then when in the morning, I would, first thing I would do, rather than pray, I would just look for a joint, a split, or tobacco, anything I could find. I used to pick up butts on the ground just to make up my tobacco, so I can mix my drugs into it. And this is a sort of life that was really, really, really downward spiral I was heading for, to the gutter. And then one day, I could only explain it in this way, that I experienced a change of life, where all I said to the Lord was, God, help me. And because of that, I went to sleep with that. This supposedly that's my prayer when I say, God help me. I didn't know how to pray or anything like that. I wasn't taught in that sense how to worship God. But I just said, I knew I was going to head for some serious problem. So I just said, God help me. And in the morning, I realized that I was free. When I give myself to the Lord,
amen.
Lord Jesus, Christ took it from there, and to the point where, after I was healed of my addiction, I've never, ever, ever in my entire life been tempted, I went places, I've been to places where they use the substance, I actually have my uncle, who deceased now. He used a substance, and others that I know use a substance, but because Christ healed me off of it, I hated the smell of it. I hated just smelling put me off, because, and I would just thank you, Christ, for all you have done for me. And he cured me of my addiction with marijuana, my alcohol that I used to take whenever I had a marijuana, and also cigarette habits. I used to smoke almost 15 a day, or could be 20 cigarettes a day. And all these things went away and my addiction was healed completely. So I've only got Christ to thank, and I've only got him to praise for that, because no amount of talking to me or lecturing me or even, suggesting that I go to rehab could have helped me. That's how far down I was, to the pit. God came and he lifted me out, and Christ healed me of my addiction. I'm not perfect, and I still have my battles like everyone else, everyday battles to fight, but I know who I believe in, and I know who is able to conquer sin and conquer Satan and all his hosts, who takes persons like me in this world and try to ruin our lives through drug abuse. And this is what I have to say to anyone. I said, turn to Jesus and give your heart over to him. It's not difficult. All you have to do is to be honest with your feelings. If you like it, just tell the Lord you like it, but you want to stop. And you got the power to stop. He will take control of you.
I guess there's so many things that I can talk about, but I think I'll just mention the fact that I was brought up in the church, in the Seventh-day Adventist church, and when I was about 14, 15, I made a decision to become a vegetarian. Now, I was somebody that I always enjoyed meat. I met my parents, that they both ate meat, and I did enjoy eating my chicken and to the bone. I'd be chewing and that. And I had made a decision after reading Spirit of Prophecy. I realized that I needed to change my diet, and I, asked God to help me, and he helped me to not have that desire to eat meat. And even though my parents continued to eat meat, I was able to overcome that desire, and that was when I was about, as I said, 14, 15 years old, and I'm over 60 now, and thank God I'm a vegetarian. And even, my parents, even though they didn't become fully vegetarians, they, most of the time, they ate vegetarian meals. But I thank God that he gave me the victory over the meat eating.
Well, let me just start by saying that, when you talk about victory over sin and God's amazing grace in relation to the trials of life, I mean, God is always giving us victories, some that are very dramatic in the nature in which they transpire, and then others are maybe perhaps might be what appear to be what we would consider maybe less significant, or at least in terms of the impact. But victory is victory, regardless of how you may view it. And God is always enabling his saints to grow in his grace if we're willing to walk with him in that manner. I think when I look at my Christian experience and reflect upon the many things that God has done for me, it's rather difficult to, kind of pinpoint one particular issue. Obviously, I think in the life of any believer, you realize the closer you come to God, the more you realize you need help in so many areas. And so for me, I think one of the most significant events in my life early on in my Christian life, I think that really it had to do, I was, with drugs and alcohol. And I know this is a prevalent issue with many people. It's unfortunate that substance abuse is seems to be a dominant issue among many who have at one time, were living that type of a lifestyle in the Christian, before they came to Christ. But that was one of the issues for me. It really was. There was no question. It was. I remember. I probably was in my teenage years. I'm not quite sure when exactly, but my teenage years, alcohol came in, and then drugs later on. I just remember, when you're doing those kinds of things, you don't think at the time you're doing it that in any way that you will become addicted to it. And the addiction, of course, is really that the terrible haunting emotional stress that you feel based on what's going on in your life, and you can't escape sometimes, or at least appears to be that way. I know before I came to Christ, there was no way I could stop. Matter of fact, I remember vividly many, I was kind of getting I'm tired of the lifestyle of, late at night, bars and, concert halls and drugs and alcohol. And, it just would wear me out. And so I tried to stop. As a matter of fact, I just didn't want to do it anymore. And, you might stop for a little while, but you just could never break away. And that happened for quite some time. And then I remember a friend introduced me to God and leading me to some meetings. And I can't explain it. This is the beauty of God's grace. There's no way anybody can explain how God can take a sinner, somebody who's wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, as the great hymn writer once said, and then all of a sudden, instantaneously, it just changed the life. There's no way anybody can possibly explain that. It's a mystery. I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but I have experienced it. And that's the only thing I can share. It's the only thing that I can tell you. People say, you got to give us more than that. I can't give you any more than what than my experience. And all I know is, as I said, just prior to my conversion, I remember on several occasions when I was temporarily, I was stopping doing drugs. And I'd go to my friend's house or a party or whatever and socialize out there in my normal places. And, people would come out and offer me all kinds of narcotics, drugs, and things of this nature. And the irony of it, prior to that, when I was doing them, nobody would share them with me. or at least it would be extremely rare in that regard. And looking back at it, of course, I realized that was Satan's working. There's no question. He saw that I was trying to get away. And then now I was offered all of these free drugs, and I just remember that vividly. I just can't I can't forget that kind of a thing. And so when I became a Christian, I don't know how to explain it other than the fact that I no longer had any cravings. It just was simply something that was removed from me. I remember one time I had backslidden temporarily. I went out, I don't remember how many years after, a year or two after I became a Christian. I was just one of those lonely moments in life, and no justification at all. My actions, I'm not trying to make any kind of an excuse, because I don't believe you can't justify sin in any way. However, though, it was just one of those things that I went to a bar and sat there, ordered a beer, and I remember thinking the whole time, I was so depressed and thinking, you shouldn't be here. And I remember taking just a sip of the beer. It tasted so bad. It was such a terrible experience. I left the beer there, left the drink there, and I just walked away. And I've never been back since to any kind of that kind of a lifestyle. And for me, sometimes victory is instant in regard to the, not just the act itself, but sometimes in the pool or the temptation of it. Now, it doesn't mean anything to me, where before, obviously, as I said, it had been a very much part of my life. So, these kinds of things I reflect upon and think about. And, of course, I know that this is a very typical story. I know I've had many testimonies of the people that I've met. Maybe they weren't really so addicted to various drugs or alcohol, but perhaps maybe the vulgarity or some other aspect of life or immorality. So things do change in people's lives. I know this. I used to do prison ministry, and I've seen lives changed. I've done evangelism and coal porter work and various other things in life, and I can tell you that I've seen it happen. I can't explain it. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense in regard to what you're witnessing, what you're seeing, but you can testify to it. And but again, I think that it is that it doesn't nearly need to have an explanation in one sense, because I think if you can define the miracle power of God's grace, then you can define God. Because let me explain why I say that. Grace is an indefinable attribute of God Almighty, because God Himself is indefinable. We know He's eternal. We know He has, the Holy Scriptures clearly indicates various characteristics and attributes. And God's grace is an extension of that. It is another attribute or characteristic of God. It's something that's beyond human comprehension. And all I know is that, thank God for His amazing grace. It really is amazing. And no matter how depressed someone may be, no matter how down and out a person's life may be, never give up. Never stop believing and hoping that God is able to help you through the crisis that you may be in. And I know that sometimes we make mistakes, and sometimes we do things that are very embarrassing or whatever the case may be. And listen, when I think of situations that may happen to my life, I look at Bible characters and I think of people like Manasseh. I think of Solomon. I think of David. And there's other people that you can point to. Think of Paul. If you take the Apostle Paul, for example, this man was a known, before his conversion now, he was a known sadistic murderer. Now, I know that's rather strong to say, but that's a fact. He murdered men, women, and children. Wholesale of killing of Christians. And that is, today, you wouldn't want to be a friend with someone like that. In other words, even after they were converted, you would think, boy, this guy's he was a butcher. And today we would put this man to death for what he had done. Because he'd be a serial killer, or at least classified as a serial killer. And you think of Solomon. Solomon was maybe one of the most, or before, again, now he was converted, then he fell away, then he came back to God. You look at his life, and if historical accounts and biblical accounts stand as they are, which they do, then this man lived one very immoral, perverted life. But God forgave him, just like he did Paul, which his conversion. You look at David's life. This man premeditated the murder of a man who was an actual loyal, decent, and as far as we know, a very ethical man to David and his convictions, all because he wanted his wife. What would you think of a person like that? Today, you wouldn't want to associate with someone like that. But God, in his mercy, led David to his senses through Nathan, the prophet, and eventually came to his end. He repented of his sin. He realized the nature of what he had done. Now, there are the consequences to the results of his actions, just like in David's life, as it was in Solomon's, and as way it is with Paul. You have to live with the consequences of the choices one makes. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about regarding the nature of the amazing God's amazing grace to forgive and to bring about a healing process. So when I think of people like, you know, I reflect on my life and I think about things, or people come to me and testify about how their lives are and they're not really proud of it. And I always try to encourage them, look, you keep your eyes on Jesus. You look on these biblical characters that God has brought to our attention, not to gloat or boast over them as though somehow we are superior than they, but rather as examples that God is using to show us, no matter how far down the path you may think you are, no matter how dark of a sin you may think you've committed, no matter how degrading it may be, God can forgive you. He can heal you. He can give you victory. There are so many examples, not just in Scripture, but in the lives of anyone who's in the church. If they can't give you a testimony of God's amazing grace, it means God's grace hasn't touched them. And it's not really that God hasn't touched them in a special way. It's just they, for whatever reason, haven't recognized or refused to acknowledge. But I don't know of anyone that I've met thus far in the church who hasn't felt the amazing grace of God in their life and can testify to that. So, you know, I will just leave it there to say that I just thank God every day for his kindness, his patience, his mercy, and his loving grace.
Listeners, we'll have another break for some music, and then we'll come back with our closing thoughts.
Clocks keep on moving. The world keeps on turning, the sun keeps on arising while the moon keeps shining. Time moves on, time moves on. Someone's just living while someone's just dying. Somewhere there's laughter while elsewhere there's crying. Time moves on, time moves on. Once you were young and say, when you were in your prime, look at those strands of gray, those marks of Father Time. All of your silver and all of your gold can't stop time from moving on, nor you from growing old. Time moves on, time moves on. So fill your life with love.
Voice in the wilderness, caring for you.
Well, listeners, you've heard the testimonies of people who have gained victory over sins in their lives. And as we conclude our five-part series of radio broadcasts about victory over sin, let us now summarize all that we have covered. In the first part of our series, we looked at what the Bible teaches that justification is. It is where we receive pardon for our sins by accepting the atonement that was made on our behalf for our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is where God pardons the repentant sinner because Jesus gains pardon for them. This is where God clears us from doing evil. We are credited or imputed with the righteousness of or holiness of Christ because Jesus becomes our substitute, representative in heaven. Justification is where we are given entitlement for heaven. In the second part of our series, we looked at what the Bible teaches that sanctification is. It is where Jesus Christ gives his spirit to those who have faith in his word, making them holy temples for God and fit for his service. It is where God writes his law in the hearts and minds of his believing people. It is the process of regeneration where the life of Christ, his love, his righteousness is imparted to the repentant sinner to give them power to gain victory over evil. Sanctification is where we are given fitness for heaven. In the third part of our series, we looked at how the Bible teaches that justification and sanctification are inseparable. That is, that they are not independent of each other. In order to restore a man and give him eternal life, God has to not only pardon a man for his sins, but also to completely cleanse him from his sins. This is in order that unhappiness and ruin can never again mar the peace of God's eternal universe when Christ comes again. There is nowhere in Scripture that states that God only pardons and that he does not cleanse the sinner at the same time. In order to be entitled to go to heaven, you have to be fit to go to heaven. In the fourth part of our series about victory over sin, we studied the Bible to learn how, on our behalf, Jesus gained the victory over sin. Jesus retained soul sanctification, lifelong obedience to his Father's word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because all through his life, even though he suffered, and even though he faced the most shameful, painful, and the most humiliating death on behalf of sinners, he put faith in his Father before feeling, trust in his Father before doubt, and submission to his Father's will instead of rebellion. He teaches us that it is true love for God that is the motivating factor to gain victory over evil. And today, in the final part of our series about victory over sin, we have studied the Bible to see how we can gain victory over sin. If we are willing to put away our sins and are willing to ask Jesus to give us the faith and love that he had for his Father that enabled him to gain victory over sin for us. Then we can become fitted for heaven and become ready to be received into his everlasting kingdom. This is because God only accepts service towards him that springs from a heart that has pure faith and love in him. To know God is to love him. It is by following Jesus and being willing to be obedient to all that he asks us to do, out of love for him, that enables us to gain victory over sin through him. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We read in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 21 to 22, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Listeners, this is eternal life or eternal death. This is eternal joy or leaving this world with sadness, never knowing what true happiness really is. This is sacrificing all for Christ to gain all in Christ forever, or gaining the whole world yet losing one's soul. The choice each day is ours. Let us choose life eternal in Jesus Christ forever, no matter what the cost, listeners, is my humble prayer. Let us now pray to close. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this series entitled Victory Over Sin. I pray, Lord, that the listeners will listen to each part, and that, Lord, that they will not only hear your word, but be willing to be obedient to your word. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will humble ourselves and submit to your purpose of love for us, and to be willing to go through the pruning process where you seek to destroy everything that's evil and unlike you, and recreate true love, true joy, and true peace, and true purpose in us. And Lord, I simply thank you for all that's been said and done. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions, or if you would like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. You can send a text message to 07944062786. If you have the Android app for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, go to the ebook section and find the title Bible Readings for the Home. At chapter 123, you'll find the subject Promises to the Overcomer. This section will give you more information about today's topic. You can also listen to and download our radio show podcasts at https://voice-in-z-the-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. If you would like to support Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio financially, then please send your monetary donation through our website at vitwradio.org. Click on the page called About Us and you can donate to us here. Well, listeners, that's it for tonight's show. Good night and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the World every week.